Well, we're constantly interacting with others. It might be in person, over the phone, or maybe it's online. And I think most of those contacts go pretty smoothly. But unfortunately, there are people out there who are looking to take advantage of you and of me. And sometimes, like the recent data breach at Target stores, it can affect millions of us. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The folks at the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection work hard to keep all of us safe from fraud and identity theft and more. And back for another visit, Sandy Chalmers, who is the administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Thanks for coming by, Sandy.
Good morning, Larry. Nice to be here.
Yeah, appreciate having you here. And Michelle Reinen directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection. And always great, Michelle. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having us again.
Well, this whole business, we were looking at our purchases, credit card purchases, and my wife made a credit card purchase at Target the last day of the breach. So I guess we're probably among those who could be affected, although nothing has shown up yet for us.
You and 110 million other Americans, apparently. Yeah, this has people's attention. And remember, at the very least, the things that you should be doing on a regular basis, whether there's a data breach in the news or not. Check your credit report at annualcreditreport.com and look for any accounts that you don't remember authorizing or approving yourself, and monitor your credit card statements and bank account statements very carefully on a monthly basis. And you really have to go through with a fine-tooth comb and look for any unauthorized charges. There's a lot of good information at Target.com and with instructions what to do if you see fraudulent charges. And Target has already said that consumers won't be liable for any fraudulent charges that happened as a result of this data breach. But you have to check your statements very carefully. You know, Target sent out an email within the last week or so announcing this free credit monitoring service that its customers are eligible for. And our phones are ringing off the hook from people assuming that that email from Target is fraudulent. So we do expect a lot of scams. You know, it kind of opens the door to people who may call you and say we're from Target, or they may email you. So keep referring back to the Target.com website, because that's up to date with the most recent communications that Target's sending.
We have our credit card is a Capital One credit card, and we got a note from Capital One saying that they were monitoring our purchases and they would be very vigilant on this and would be getting back to us if they see something that looks funny. And I expect that's probably true of hopefully it would be true of the other credit card companies too.
Yeah, I think a lot of the credit card companies are paying really close attention to the transactions and kind of your pattern of payment. If all of a sudden you show up in Texas when everything else the day before was in Wisconsin and that morning was Wisconsin kind of thing, it's important to always call your credit card company, tell them you're traveling so you don't get cut off, and then they would expect an irregular pattern of shopping and things. But they'll, especially now while they're paying that extra attention. But you need to take that measure to also check your credit card bill and be paying attention to those little things. You know, be the backup for the credit card company.
They do. Just to give one little perk to them, about a year ago, we got a call from them and saying, you know, here's a purchase somebody made and they're having it mailed to Arizona. That doesn't look right. Is this something you actually did? And no, we hadn't. So the credit card company caught it as it was essentially right after they had made the charge. And so we were able to get our number changed and all this and that. But they were very vigilant, and I was really appreciated that.
Yeah. And just be, if you get a call like that and they tell you we suspect fraud, and then they ask you to verify your credit card number,
no.
You know.
Yeah, no, we didn't get that.
When they ask you to provide that personal information over the phone, that you have to be concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. You wouldn't do that. Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers, our guests today from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. You may have a consumer protection issue you'd like to talk with them about. Are you concerned about the Target data breach? You feel you know what to do to monitor your accounts? What about online dating? That's something I want to talk about next, actually. This is kind of funny because suddenly in the last, I suppose because Valentine's Day is coming up, and probably whether you're married or not, you're getting all. I'm at least getting all kinds of emails about how I can find my new partner in life, and online dating.
Yeah, so. It can be a great source of meeting people and finding, an easier way to find someone who will match up with you and commonalities versus, you know, just testing the market out mm-hmm. there and randomly meeting people. But you really have to take caution at the same time to make sure you're not taken in by that scammer because you just have an overwhelming desire to have a connection with someone. So take the time to watch for the red flags of meeting someone. Don't move offline or to a secret or private chat area. Stay on the site and have your communications given that way. If you're going to meet in public and try local, yeah. Meet locally. Don't fall for the story that, oh, well, I need money in order to get there, so wire me some money so I can buy an airline ticket and come meet you. That's another dead giveaway. That whole wire money is a huge red flag. And then be really careful of what can happen outside of that dating circle, the imposter scam, where if you start giving away too much of your personal information, then it can be posted and someone else outside of that dating can come after you in an imposter way and start taking over your personal information and end up in identity theft. So we've seen all sorts of different scenarios with dating things that you need to be concerned with and just be very cautious.
Who are the most likely victims of this?
Right now what we're seeing is women, maybe yeah. divorced, over 40 years of age, could be widowed or disabled. They're common targets of some of the statistics that we're seeing.
And we have had cases where people lose tens of thousands of dollars. And these scams can evolve over a period of weeks or months or even years. And, they take their time drawing you in. But last week I saw in the news a woman in San Diego lost $500,000 on a fairly well-known dating site. And so even though those dating sites spend a lot of time and money monitoring for fraud, it can still happen. So one of the things we recommend is if you have a friend or neighbor or loved one who is in that vulnerable category, just have a conversation with them and make sure they understand if you see them kind of getting drawn into one of these relationships.
Okay, so lots to think about there and some warning signs. And so, as you say, be kind of, if not only for yourself, but your relatives and friends.
Right.
Who are
right.
kind of, quote, in the market. We have a caller who couldn't hang on, but heard of a cell phone credit card app called ISIS, ISIS. Wonders if that would be more secure because it avoids swiping one's credit card. So,
Can't say that I've heard of that to know. It's really going to depend on the security measures that are involved and what's behind that. Is there an ever-changing passcode that ties to it or how it's accessed? You have to be concerned if you lose your phone, what kind of access does anyone have to using this app? What kind of security is behind it? hate to bring it up, but Starbucks just recently had stuff in the news about their online app for payment and how the security levels were very limited, to be kind, I think, and that if someone had accessed the phone, they could drain that account very easily. And it just depended on if consumers had it on an auto renewal to keep paying up, or if they had it limited as to what that loss would be. So you really have to take a look at this app, ask a lot of questions, and see how it's set up, what security there is. I mean, you can lose your phone as easy as you can lose a credit card, so that loss potential.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have some callers online with questions. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and certainly we would love to hear from you. We have someone of Mary in Madison already here yet? I don't know. Let's see. Let's go to Mary and see. Mary, are you there? Nope, not quite yet. Let's talk about some other scams you're hearing about from Wisconsin residents. Sandy, what do you...
Utility scams have been really high on our...
Is that right?
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. People will get calls from somebody saying, I'm from MG&E, for example, and we're going to shut off your utilities at the end of the day unless you wire us money or, you know, use one of those money pack green dot cards to pay us. And that's been around for some time, and we've seen it evolve from... and this is something that happens all over the state, by the way, but it's gone from the general public to Latino consumers to small businesses, and now it's coming by email. So we have a number of people in the Madison area who got an email from somebody claiming to be from PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric, which sounds a lot like, or looks a lot like MG&E.
Yep.
So when you get one of these emails, remember, read it very closely. And never, when you get an unsolicited email, an unexpected email, never click on a link, because what generally happens, and what was the case with these utility emails, when you click the link, you have malicious software downloaded onto your computer, and then they can, you know, monitor your keystrokes and keep track of your online login information. So that's something to watch for. Our phones were ringing off the hook last week about that one.
Oh, Mary and Madison, you are up next. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to comment about your guest's earlier comment regarding the Target credit card breach, and that Target is assuring customers that they will not be liable for any cost. And I just want to amend that the customers are always going to be at the we're always going to be receiving the cost of whatever this is going to cost, because it will come to us in higher retail prices. And that I think that's important, because other areas of the world, Europe specifically, have systems that are less apt to be hacked and are much more secure. But that there's been pushback from the institutions, from the banks, and they have been opposing implementing more secure systems because they cost so much more.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I think that's generally true, that, isn't it, Sandy, that Europe has a much tighter system, or it's harder to break into their system than ours.
I've heard that as well. Her point is well taken about the cost to consumers, the cost that businesses expend protecting the data that they have now, and the cost that would be incurred if we went to this different system. And I can't remember what the European system is, but it uses a chip in the credit card. Yeah, and something else, you know, this has opened up a larger discussion about data privacy and what companies are doing to protect the consumers' data. If I read one report that saying that Target had been warned that it was not protecting its data adequately. And another possible cost is if Target is sued, you know, and is liable for not protecting, taking adequate precautions.
Thanks again, Mary, for calling. I appreciate your call. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Ryan are our guests today, taking a look at the Target data breach, dating scams, and other consumer protection issues. I'm Larry Mueller. Dave Potratz, our on-air producer, on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller with my guests today, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, taking a look at consumer protection issues. Have one open line. You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And let's turn to Frances in Stoughton next. Frances, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello, good morning. It's actually Francisco.
Francisco, sorry.
No problem. Good morning. I just wanted to share a story that I just came across myself. I was looking to purchase a pair of shoes online, and through research, I found a webpage that had the best price. So I created an account with them. But then something didn't seem right afterwards. I didn't purchase anything. I went online and researched the web page, and somebody else had posted that they were a scam. And I just wanted to ask the guests, what should we do as consumers to report these kind of fake web pages that you know, other people might encounter and not figure out that they are a scam?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, Francisco. One of the important things to do would be to file a complaint with our office, the Consumer Protection Office, because then we can work on trying to get your money back if you haven't already been able to do so, and then also work with our partners in trying to go after them and shut down the website. So that is a great source to report those web scams when you see them. And you can call our 800 number, 1-800-422-7128 to get a complaint form sent out to you, or go to our website and file online, and that's datcp.wi.gov.
All right.
Well, thank you very much for the information, and thankfully I was not scammed.
Good.
I was able to kind of figure it out before I went ahead and placed the order.
I'm glad.
Right.
I do have one more question, though.
Yeah.
I did create an account with them. And I went back in and changed all the information because I had put my, you know, my address and my full name and my phone number and all that. I went ahead and changed it all to something that is not true. Is there anything else that I should be doing to protect myself?
No, I think what you did, that sounds like a really good idea. And I just monitor your email, because make sure that that you're monitoring that and what you get and not clicking on things that you make it unrecognizable.
Okay. Beautiful. The other thing that I did was actually email, there was an email link, so that I emailed them and I asked them if there was a phone number that I could call to place my order. They responded to me that they didn't do that. They don't have a phone number or anything. So that also told me that it was a scam.
Yeah. Thank you, Francisco. Appreciate your call very much. Good information for everybody else who's listening, as a matter of fact. More callers online. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Stella in Sturgeon Bay next. Hi, Stella.
Hi. I just wanted to call in and let people know, when you were talking about the scams from purportedly from PG&E or MG&E, that if they didn't pay by wire transfer by the end of the day, their power would be cut off at the end of the day. excuse me, unless the current legislature has changed the law in Wisconsin is that your power, your utilities cannot be cut off during the winter. So that's an immediate tip-off that that's a scam.
That's a very good point, and that is absolutely true, isn't it, Sandy?
Right. And in some cases, the email or call will say something like, your bill is overdue, and they make it a very pressing issue, not necessarily that they're going to cut off your power. But she raises a good point. We've been getting variations of the scam, I would say, for the last year or so. And not too long ago, Alliant Energy, We Energies, and MG&E actually asked us to send out a release letting people know about the scam. So very widespread, very prevalent right now.
Yeah. Thank you, Stella, for calling. Appreciate your call. We had, just full disclosure, we actually somehow, because we get our bill online for electric and heat, I somehow missed it. So I was I had to pay 2 months worth this month, and that was an ouchie.
Yeah,
that was an ouchie. Tom in Wanakee, it's your turn. Hi, Tom.
Just a follow-up or another question regarding the Target issue.
Yeah.
We may have used a credit card at Target once, period. I hardly ever shop there. But we received, and not during this period that was, the Black Friday to December sometime. So it's been years ago. And I received an email about 2 weeks ago from Target regarding this whole issue, and then they had an offer, and you can do this by April sometime, 1 year's free coverage of Protect My ID, and click on that the link, and it would take you to that. I wondered if the people from Trade and Consumer Protection have heard anything about that issue yet.
And Michelle?
Yeah, we've had a lot of consumers who didn't shop during the time period that are also getting the email. I'm included in that group. Mm-hmm. But if you'll recall, they expanded the breach information about 2 weeks after the initial announcement to say that the contact information that Target had also been breached. So that one time that you shopped there could be why they've contacted you, that they've reached out to, I think, pretty much everybody that they have information on and know about to give them the details that they have. Here's where you go for resources, and that, you know, whether you shop during that time period or not, these are things that we're offering to you so you can feel more protected. But regardless of this breach, we encourage consumers annually on a regular basis to be monitoring their credit and checking. And this is a service they're giving their customers or one-time customers even just to keep track of things.
Yep.
Okay. And we certainly do recommend that people take advantage of what Target is offering. To have a year of free credit monitoring is a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Thanks again, Tom, for calling. Ruth in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. I pretty much every night get a call from somebody who claims to be from Windows. And they say, oh, we're receiving a lot of error messages from your computer. And I say, oh, really? You know, and they say, well, it's very, very infected, you know, and I don't even wait to hear what they want me to do. I just say, well, send me a security fix then, you know.
Yeah.
Because I get lots of security updates from Windows, and they run overnight on my computer. They update my computer all the time. If you need to fix my computer, send a fix.
And they hang up on you at that point, I bet.
No, they don't. They keep trying. They keep trying to tell me, I think, that I'm supposed to log onto my computer and go to their special site or something. You know, what should I do? Should I play along with them and file a report, or should I get the report paper so I have it in hand first and then play along but never do it?
Yeah. Good for you for recognizing a scam, because unfortunately a lot of people fall for this. And this is the Microsoft or Windows tech support scam, and it's been around for a long time in a number of variations. The FTC shut down one of these operations that was operating out of India, I believe, that was using this scam. I think it's best if you don't play along and just hang up as soon as you know who it is. Just hang up. Don't engage with them at all, because I think by conversing with them, they think that there's a possibility that you might bite, and that's why they keep calling you back. So I would just hang up immediately.
Mm-hmm. There we go. All right. Thanks, Ruth. And Mary in Wauwatosa, hello. Thanks for calling.
Hi. We have been getting, I would say probably once a week since the end of September or December, something that looks like a legal notice. It says notice to appear. You are hereby notified that you have been scheduled to appear for your hearing to take place in the court of Washington on such and such a date. Please bring all documents and witnesses. A copy of the court notice is attached to this letter. And I'm wondering if this is something that is simply going around. Now, obviously, we never clicked to open any attachment, and it did not look. It is signed, yours truly, Carol Mason, clerk of the court. And courts don't send things like that, and it's not, it doesn't look official. But I think simply seeing on your computer something of a legal notice can be a scary thing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right, Mary. We've received calls about this. It's coming in the form of either the email, that's current. We've also received calls that it comes in the form of a phone call. It's very scary. Mm-hmm. If you don't show up, we're going to issue a warrant for your arrest, some false debt scam behind it. The one you've received, you mentioned Washington, they just recently issued a news release about it, that it is a big scam, and they'd been getting lots of phone calls. It's a way to get you to wire money and make a payment, get some of your personal information. The scam goes so far as to sometimes have a false docket number in there to really make you believe that fear tactic that you need to show up or pay this money instead. Mm-hmm. It's not the way that you'd be contacted if you have a court date. You'll get official service. They don't contact you by email about it. You know, go so far as to look up the docket number and see that it's false if you need some extra security about that for yourself. But mm-hmm. great recognizing that scam and putting that out there for consumers today.
Yeah. Thanks, Mary. Okay. Appreciate your call. Karen in Green Bay. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I just want to make you aware of a scam that happened with me last week. I have my credit card through Chase. And I always make my credit card payment online. And I had made my payment online about 3 days prior to receiving the email. And I got an email that looked like it was from Chase. And it said there was an error in your online payment that I needed to correct within 72 hours or my payment was going to be considered late. Well, all of us are sort of alarmed by that because we don't want to have late payments. And you had to click on the link to correct it. I clicked on the link, and it took me to the Chase login page asking for my login ID and my password. And lucky for me, I just looked up in the address bar, and it had nothing to do with Chase.com.
Whoa.
And had I put that information in, they would have had my login and password into my Chase online account. And there's my banking information is in there, my personal information. They would have had all of that. So I stopped, and I called the 800 number on the back of my credit card, and I talked to a Chase representative, and they said, oh, yes, we're aware of this. We're looking into it. But no one had alerted me prior to that, and had I done that, it would have been a really horrible for me situation. So
yeah.
Just wanted to make people aware, really be careful with that. Look in the address bars. Look and see the address for where the emails are coming, because when I looked at that further, it wasn't even like a .com or whatever. It was coming from a foreign country.
Oh.
But it looked exactly like the Chase login page.
Oh.
Yeah, and they can send out millions of these emails with one click of a computer mouse. And, for instance, if you had gotten an email from Wells Fargo Bank saying that there was a problem with your account, you would have known it was a scam. But in this case, it matched your bank account. So, yeah, whenever you get an unsolicited email, Stop right there. And if you have any question, call the bank yourself.
Yeah.
But clicking on a link, it's just so easy for the crooks. It's so easy for them to set you up that way.
Right. And I guess I would have appreciated if Chase would have made me aware and other customers aware if this scam is going on, too, with their site.
Yeah.
And they hadn't alerted us at all. So. Yeah. But just, I just wanted your listeners to be aware to watch out for that one.
Yeah, that's not a good one. It's a bad, a really bad one, but it's good to talk about it. Actually, it's almost 2 years ago, I had a colleague that I work with. She had some banking with a credit union, and that afternoon she gets an email supposedly from the credit union saying, "Oh, that you're." The work you did this morning is not, you need to do something else. And she wound up giving away information about her bank or her numbers and stuff that cost her a lot of money and cost her identity theft issues. It was kind of an old nightmare to get that all straightened out.
A lot of victims of identity theft say to us, we have no idea how this happened. And it probably was something like this what the lady who was just on mentioned. It just looks so right.
Well, and just by luck or bad luck, she happens to get it like a few hours after she was just a plain coincidence. But I could, and she said it looked just exactly like the credit union site. So, Eric in Madison, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. This is actually a tail end of that last previous caller. I received, the Target email as well, and I was initially suspicious because I hadn't shopped at Target online or during the time period. And so I didn't click the link, but I did highlight and then copy and paste the link into my browser window. But it made me start thinking that, so I didn't click the link, but is copying and pasting that link any more secure or safer than actually, clicking the link? Because I've done that a couple of times when I wasn't quite sure about, the security of what the email was sending me. And I wound up actually going to Target's website where they do have the actual, official letters that were sent out to everyone on email. And I was able to verify it that way. But yeah, my question is am I safer by copying and pasting that link versus actually clicking on it to verify or see what that website really is going or where that website's going?
This is one of the things that makes this whole Target thing so difficult. It's only a matter of time before criminals somewhere in the world copycat that Target email with a phony link in it. So, again, we recommend that you go to the Target.com website directly. If you get an email, and that communication should be there and with the information, and use the link there on the Target.com website rather than clicking on a link that you get in an email.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Eric, for calling. And Chris in Wisconsin Dells, what's on your mind?
Hi. I have a couple of things I want to say. The first is that when I call the 800 number on my bank account, I get somebody in Pakistan or Indonesia or something, and they want my social security number, and they want all of this information about me, my mother's maiden name and stuff. And I finally said, I did this once and stupidly, and I said, I'm not doing this anymore. Okay, I call the local branch of my bank, and I get the information I need. So don't do that. Don't go, because you don't know what kind of political stuff is going to happen in a foreign country and where that information is going, and how this person who's making 50 cents an hour doing this job is going to take your information and go market it someplace. And the other thing I wanted to say was that this is a compliment to you guys, because if I get a telemarketing call or I get some kind of garbage coming in over my telephone about that I bought this or I bought that or I didn't buy this or there's something on my bank statement, all I have to do is call them up and say, the Wisconsin Department of Consumer Protection is attached to the Justice Department of the state of Wisconsin, and I'm going to go file a complaint with them. And they just leave me alone.
Oh, Good. That's nice. Oh, what do you think, Sandy?
Well, good for you. But I will say we do take our enforcement responsibilities very, very seriously, and are able to take care of issues for thousands and thousands of Wisconsin consumers every year. So thank you for the compliment.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. Daryl in Bloomington. Hello.
Yes, hello. This is a problem within the air conditioning field. It's not done intentionally, but air conditioning systems are advertised as having a high SEER level whereby they will save a certain amount of money each month on their utility bills. But the problem is that they're never tested as to the BTU that's delivered to the conditioned rooms or the homes. And on a lot of tests that they have done, the average delivered BTU per hour was only 63%. Now, we have good used car legislation, so they can't, you know, misrepresent. And like I said before, this is not done intentionally. Actually, the contractors are sort of asked to promote it this way. And since there's no requirement to verify the delivered performance, well, I know my brother, he had a air conditioning unit put on an old furnace, and he isn't even getting half of what he should be getting on the BTU end of it.
Mm.
And it was actually with a thermostat expansion valve. It was rated as a 13 SEER unit, and he isn't even getting 6. And the point is that they tend to trust the contractor, and many times the contractor, well, it's really easy to do these tests, but a lot of them don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
As far as the delivered performance. I've been in this business since before the mid-1970s, and I have seen some of the most worst situations you could imagine. And there's no reason for it. It should not happen. In the big cities, they charge $15,000 to $20,000 for a lot of this equipment and installing it. And they end up with 5-ton systems when they should have only had 2 or 2.5-ton systems. I mean, they're just, even on new construction, they're not getting it right now.
So what do you do as a consumer in that kind of situation, Michelle?
Well, I think consumers, when they're shopping for different appliances or household things, they need to ask a lot of questions, get statements in writing, and then do their research with various energy savings associations, consumer reports, that kind of thing, to put in the best system they can. A lot of those energy saving claims are set at the federal level as far as regulation. But if someone's misrepresenting what they should be receiving, then we have laws on the books, and you can file a complaint with our agency about that purchase if you were misled, deceived in that manner. So we would encourage complaints of those natures.
All right. And thank you very much, Daryl, for calling. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, our guests today from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, talking with them about scams and all kinds of consumer protection issues. You can join in at 800-642-1234. I'm Larry Mueller. Dave Botratz, our on-air producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller, and talking consumer issues today with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen of the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Don in Woodruff has been waiting a bit, so I want to go to Don right away. What's on your mind, Don?
I was wondering how safe it is to put your Social Security number on a check. The IRS asks this when you mail in an estimated taxes, and you trust them, but where does the check go after they get rid of it? It has your check number and your Social Security number on it then.
Michelle?
Well, Don, I would encourage you not to put that number on the check if you're going to do anything because you're worried about compliance. Just put the last 4 digits because that's already shown of the number. But that check can be viewed over and over again depending upon how it gets scanned in and different means that way. So we've really gone away from the days of putting the number on a check.
Yeah.
Same with driver's license number. We discourage that as well.
Yeah. Never do that again. Anne in Kakana, hello. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm not sure if this was covered or not yet, but just hearing people talking about different websites and kind of getting mislinked, you know, this is a hint that I tell my parents, and I know I've shared it with other people. It's a really simple thing that I think, you know, if you haven't covered it, it's really great to be aware of. No matter what site you go to, I always pay attention to the address bar and make sure that it has HTTPS. The S stands for secured website.
Yep.
So I never put my information, whether or not it's, you know, my address or even anything more important, on a site that doesn't have that S in the web address.
And Sandy?
That's a great suggestion. And in a lot of browsers, you'll also see a locked padlock in your mm-hmm. browser window as well. But that's the signal that you're on a secure website.
Yep.
You're absolutely right.
Thanks, Ann. Appreciate it.
Yep. No, thank you for taking my call. Bye.
Bye. Chelsea in Janesville. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you. I was just calling because after you guys started talking about that Alliant Energy phone calls and stuff like that, I actually got one a few days ago, and I never called it back just because I thought it was a scam. You can't shut your power off in the wintertime. But I called my grandparents and some other family members to let them know about the scams that were going on because they don't really know too much about that. And my grandpa was saying they actually donated to a children's fund back in December, and now they've been calling on a daily basis to every other day to get more money and another check. They're like, oh, well, we never got the check. And so I don't know really what to tell them. Should they call the Consumer Protection Agency? Can they track the check if these people cashed it? What should they do?
Mm-hmm. All right, Sandy?
You can call the Consumer Protection Hotline number, and we'll refer you or your grandparents to the Department of Financial Institutions, which regulates charities and charity fraud. But you can always call our 800 number, and if we're not the right agency, we'll put you in touch with the correct agency that has jurisdiction over that particular problem.
Okay, that's great. Well, thank you very much.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. And Steve in Sun Prairie. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning. This is kind of an old question, but I'm just wondering what's the procedure to go through to turn in merchants that constantly violate the no-call list?
Well, there's a couple different ways you can do it. Call our 800 number and have us send you a complaint form, or go online and fill out the no-call complaint form, the telemarketing complaint form. We'll give those numbers, 1-800-422-7128 or datcp.wi.gov. And if you have the name that they're using, that's great for us to follow up, time of call, you know, phone number that they called from, as much information as you can provide to us. But even just the phone number is helpful for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that web address was datc@wi.gov?
Need a P, D-A-T-C-P.
D-A-T-C-P. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. And Rose in Menominee, your turn. Hi, Rose.
It's actually Menominee Falls, but I was just calling. I recently filed a complaint with your agency and sent in all the paperwork about a little over a week ago, and I was wondering what the average turnaround time for a complaint would be.
Okay. Good question.
You should be hearing from somebody in about 2 weeks. And, you know, we get hundreds and hundreds of complaints every day. So there is a little bit of lag time. But usually it's about 2 weeks, and you'll get a letter from us or some kind of contact from us.
Okay.
And you said if I don't within a certain time, should I call?
Sure. You can call that hotline number. It's 800-422-7128. And just ask about the status of your complaint.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's turn to Bob and Krivitz next. Bob, let's see. Get him on here. Hi, Bob. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I have a question. On my medical card, I'm a veteran. Okay, they never put my Social Security number on it. I've got one in my wallet right now. My last four digits are on there. And that's a federal card. Okay. When I go on to Medicare, I have to carry my medical card along because I go to Frederick Hospital quite a bit. Okay, and there my full Social Security number is on there. Okay, so I called the same program last year, and they referred me to call congressmen or senators. I did that, and both of them told me, well, we can't change something that quickly. How the heck can the federal government do it? The same federal government's doing it for veterans, but you won't do it for all the people that are retired? So this is crazy. And, yeah, we're looking into it. Well, that's over a year ago. They're awful slow at looking into anything.
Well,
I think the reason they referred you to your congressman was that it probably will take a law change to get that Social Security number off your Medicare card. And according to what I've read about this, the cost in making a shift away from using Social Security number on a Medicare card would just be in the billions and billions and billions of dollars. And that's why it hasn't happened yet.
How many billions or millions you think of people that are like myself over 65 or people that are on Medicare at a younger age?
Yeah.
Card in their pocket.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And what we recommend is that you make a copy of your Medicare card and black out the first five digits of your Social Security number and carry that with you. And if there is some kind of emergency, hospitals would admit you based on that information, and then you could bring in your real Medicare card later. Mm, but that's okay. What AARP has recommended for years.
Oh, okay. There we go. Bob, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Jean from Oshkosh emailed us, by the way, also received the Target email and went directly to the Target website, followed the link, eventually got the link to the free credit monitoring. She wasn't comfortable entering her Social Security number, mother's maiden name, or birth date. She says, can I trust that entering my information is safe since I initiated it directly on the Target site and not from a link like an email?
Yeah, in order to get that credit monitoring, they need that information to link you to your credit account and your report and make sure they're putting the protection on the right credit account. So you do need to provide that. And yeah, we'll just hopefully it's going to be safe. You'll have the S there. You've linked up. There's high security measures behind that.
Mm-hmm. There we go. We will take some more calls. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Michael in Appleton, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Love the show.
Thanks.
I'm just calling with something that I encountered a little bit ago. I moved relatively recently, and I was going to fill out the change of address form, and I didn't have time to make it down to the post office, so I was going to do it online. And I just searched, like, Google change of address. And the first, I don't know, probably 8, 5 to 10 links that showed up for search results, I was going, and they looked relatively official, and it looked very convincing. But the first 4 pages or so that I went through were all other organizations. And you would go along and put in your information, and then when you got to the end or near the end, they would try to charge you like $40 or $30 or $50 to file the change of address form. And I had been under the impression, I didn't follow through with any of them. And then I finally, you know, figured it out and went to the actual official Postal Service page and changed my address. And I think it was like $1 for the convenience fee or whatever of doing it online. But, you know, I'm a 25-year-old guy. You know, I feel like I should know better. And, but the pages that I was going on looked very convincing. And I don't know if they would have actually changed my address or not, but they would have charged me a whole lot more than I needed to pay.
Yeah. So. Wow.
Yeah, there are dangers in doing a Google search, and it's always best to type in the name of the company or the government agency directly into the address bar. We've had people call into this show who have been led astray by going to the DMV.com website, and they thought they were with the Wisconsin DMV. So,
.gov.
And sometimes it's difficult for us to go after those kind of look-alike government websites because they always have a disclaimer, a banner at the top of the page saying, this is not a government website. But people don't always catch that as they're scrolling down.
Hmm. Thank you again, Michael. And Jeff in Appleton, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I got a tip for all those people who were complaining about telemarketers calling. It's you have to watch out what you're putting online, too. If you're putting your address out, just watch the sites that you're putting on, because next thing you know, you have somebody calling, asking you to log into your computer. Hello, sir. Can I help you with your computer today? And you don't want them to. You just say no, and you hang up. But, ma'am, I'm telling you, there is something wrong with your computer. Whatever you do, just hang up.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And the word of warning is obviously you always want to be. You got to be suspicious of pretty much anybody, don't you, Sandy?
You really do. You're absolutely right. It's unfortunately, but you're right.
Many, many, many people out there who would like to take your money and mine. And we have, I tell you what, we have, we're going to take a break to look at the news. We've got Ruth in Eagle River who has a question about a letter from the Census Bureau. So that's a possible thing that I'm sure we'll comment on. So Ruth, I hope you'll stay listening here, and some other callers joining in as well. You may have a question, and if you do, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us. The email address is talk@wpr.org. Post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. Post a question or a comment there. We also have links to the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. So if you need more information directly from them, you can go right straight to that website from my Facebook page. We'll be back right after a look at the news. Stay with us. In the course of an average week or month, you and I act as consumers many times. And while we don't need to be suspicious of everybody we deal with, there are some steps to take to avoid scams and stay safe. Larry Mehler here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Happily, most transactions go pretty smoothly and you pretty much get what you pay for. But those other times when there are problems that you can't get them addressed, well, we need help to get it straightened out. And lucky for us, we have the folks at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection to help us out. Michelle Ryan directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection. And Michelle, great to have you back.
Thanks, Larry.
And Sandy Chalmers, of the administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Thank you for spending time with us.
You bet. Nice to be here.
We have lots of callers online. I think it's probably best to go to those who have been waiting a while. So let's go to Neil in Richland Center next. Hi, Neil.
Hi, how are you today?
Great. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm a semi-retired computer expert, and I've done a lot of work on Internet security. And a lot of the people that I've worked with says, well, you know, you're the, you know, biggest expert in the state. You know, why are you telling us there's no such thing as a secure website? Because there isn't. A lot of times people like to do shopping online and so forth, so they use their credit card, and they're relying on the fact that they have that S after that HTTP. And even that is not secure. It's more secure than a regular website, but it's not 100%. What I usually do is I use debit cards that you can pick up at some of the big box stores and only put the amount of money on that card that I'm going to be using on the Internet. So if somebody does get a hold of that card number, they're not going to get anything off of it, and it's not connected to my bank account.
Yeah. Yeah. Michelle, that sounds like a plan, for sure.
It's definitely a plan. He raises a fair point. You know, we've seen it. All things can be hacked, depending upon the complexity of the hacker. And
I'm sure there was an S on the Target website.
Yeah, and he's right. That's a method. Using those gift cards as a means of trying to have a transaction without giving away your information. And we've talked about that at various times. So a trick that may work for people.
Yeah. Thanks, Neil. Chuck in Waukesha, your turn. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks, Neil, for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I have a question about credit reports. I've seen on TV a couple of commercials. The first commercial, it says that you can get your report for free and then they want your credit card. So switch over to us and you can have it for free for a year or whatever. Is the credit report that you guys were talking about absolutely free? I'm sure you have to give out all your Social Security numbers and that kind of things over that report. Am I correct? I guess there's two questions on that at one time.
Sandy?
Yes, it's annualcreditreport.com, and that's authorized through federal law. And every consumer has the right to see their credit report three times a year. So I know there are ads for a lot of companies out there. I've seen a lot of ads for Credit Karma, and for a while that was freecreditreport.com. Not to pass judgment on those companies, but that is not the website that was set up or the service that was set up by the federal government. It's annualcreditreport.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you have to give all your information, just like the lady was talking about earlier about concerned about giving her wife's maiden name and all that kind of stuff. You do have to give that on that particular site, am I correct?
You do, because your credit report is tied to your Social Security number. And in addition to that, you're generally asked some other questions about recent transactions you've made, you know, the amount of your mortgage payment or something like that that only you would know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I have one other question. Just recent caller about the debit card. Do you have to use a debit card like from a big box store, or could you have one of their credit cards available? Is there too much information on a, quote, credit card compared to a debit card?
I think it's going to depend on where you're doing your purchasing as to what kind of card that they're going to take. I mean, maybe you use their store's gift card. Maybe you go get one of those blank Visa cards, and then that's not tied to your bank. But that's different than a credit card that's issued to you in your name or a debit card issued to you in your name and tied to your checking account. So these aren't tied back to your accounts.
Yeah, so the gift cards is what we're looking for here. Yeah.
Yeah,
you want what you want to be perfectly safe. That's what you need, if I'm not mistaken. All right. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Chuck. Carol in Crandon, on to you now. Hi, Carol.
Hi, good afternoon to everyone. I wondered, I have a question. For the last 6 to probably 9 months, I've been getting this call on my landline, which I never, press the button as they suggest, but it's something about want to reduce your credit card interest, and it says, you know, this is going to be available only for a certain amount of time, and if you're interested, it says please press a specific number, which I can't remember, and I'm not interested in that, but I question that probably might be a scam. I just like your input on that.
Okay.
Yeah, it probably is a scam. And I'm assuming it was a recorded message.
Yes.
Most of those are, right. So right off the bat, you know that it's an illegal call because most robocalls are against a violation of federal law. Those pitches to reduce your credit card interest, in some cases they ask you for a fee up front and then they don't do anything. You never hear from them again. Or in other cases, they're looking for information from you about the amount of credit card debt you have or your annual income. And once they get that information, they sell it around the world to other telemarketers. So by just hanging up, you're doing the best thing.
I did call my bank because I felt it probably wasn't from them, and they that I did the right thing and that they would never, you know, advertise something like that. So I appreciate your information.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for calling. And Nathan and Elroy, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Yes, I'm calling in because a couple people mentioned about a scam by electric companies calling and saying that, you know, if they don't pay their bill, they can get it shut off. And we received one of those, too. And after calling my electric company, and I called them personally, and they said, oh, yeah, they can shut off my power even during the winter months. And I said, well, how can they do that? It says, well, they're a co-op, and they don't have to abide by the same standard that some of these other electric companies have to abide by.
Well, you'd want to call if it comes to a shutoff. The Public Service Commission regulates the utilities and what level, you know, cooperatives versus full utilities in the different regulations that are there. So if it comes to you being concerned about your being shut off, make sure you're contacting the Public Service Commission and asking questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck. Thanks, Nathan. Sandy in Minocqua. Let's see if I can get to Sandy. Hi, Sandy. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. A couple weeks ago, I was down in Rhinelander at the AT&T office. I wanted to purchase an iPad. When I went to pay for the iPad, they made me fill out a form, and they told me I had to put my birth date and all my address, phone number, and Social Security number, which I wrote down, but then they said I had to put down my bank account number.
Good grief.
And I asked the girl, I said, why do I have to do all this? And they said, well, we have to make sure that you can pay for this item. And well, I scratched out my Social Security number, and I told her, no, thank you, and I left. But now it's been bothering me that I didn't take that paper with me, and it has my other data on it, such as age, address, phone number. And I was wondering what I should look for. How can that information be used? And what should I be watching out for?
Okay, Michelle?
Well, you're always going to want to do one of those annualcreditreport.com. Once every 4 months, get one from each of the three and monitor your credit. You want to look for things that aren't accurate, a different address where you've never lived, extensions of credit that you've never taken out, cars you don't own, anything that isn't accurate, and then be filing that. You want to watch your credit card bills to make sure that there aren't additional charges there. Check your Social Security report when those come from the Social Security Administration that you don't have jobs you've never had listed there. Those are the things you're watching for, or anyone is watching for when they're monitoring their personally identifiable information. You scratched out the information. Some of what you're saying is public information through a phone book, so maybe rest a little easy about that, and then just monitor those places.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. How do I contact the three credit places to check my credit report?
Annualcreditreport.com is the online. Annualcreditreport.com.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. And Shirley in New Berlin, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I was caught in the Target breach, and I called my bank, and my bank issued a different number, different card, and told me to cut up the one that I had used. I don't have to be concerned about them getting the number this way, do I?
It sounds like your bank is being really proactive and doing whatever it can to cut off any criminal access to your previous credit card.
Okay.
So I think that's great that they're doing that.
Well, I called them. So
okay, good.
Call their banks and change their credit cards.
No,
I would think.
Well, they
in a way of, instead of having the hassle of having to check everything all the time, I don't have access to a computer, so I couldn't check mine on a daily basis. It would only be the one that came in the mail in the end of the month.
Yeah.
Yeah, a number of people with the Target credit cards contacted us and said they were having trouble getting through to the Target 1-800 number. But be persistent, and hopefully by this time, everybody with one of those red Target credit cards who wants that replaced has been able to get through.
Thanks again, Shirley. Appreciate it. Deb emailed and said she has a very common name and is always getting credit collection notices from another for another person of the same name. She says, I have an excellent credit rating, always pay my bills on time. What's the best way to handle these phone calls and nuisance mailings?
I think saying that you aren't that person and monitor your credit report to make sure nothing gets hooked up with you. There's laws in place that they can't file false collection and credit, and that's handled by the Department of Financial Institutions. Collection agencies are. So if you are ever wrongfully pursued persistently, you know, regularly, you could file a complaint with Department of Financial Institutions against that collection agency.
Yeah. My wife's had the same issue.
Right.
So same first, middle initial, last name, and about the same age and in the same city. So you wind up, she gets a lot, and she just has to patiently explain that. And she's got a nice history and a bunch of stories that she tells the people who actually call. And most times, that's the end of it. In fact, I think pretty much every time that's the end of it. They say, okay, well, you're obviously not the one. So, takes a little phoning, though, from time to time. Flora in Wisconsin Dells, hi, thank you for calling.
Hello. I do most of my online purchasing with a PayPal where it's connected to. Does that make me any safer?
I don't know.
That's hard to measure because you have to look at the security level of PayPal and how that's being paid. And I think we're not in a position to be able to rate which mechanism of paying is the safest. It's looking at the sites and how they're secure.
I think in most cases, your PayPal account is connected to your bank account.
It is. It is. And then you have to go through both for it to go through. But now that I'm listening to you for the last hour, I'm going, man, maybe that's not a good way to do it. And I've been very fortunate that nothing's happened. But now you got me wondering if I should go open a small little bank account, put a small amount of money in there, and let that be.
That's definitely a way of limiting any potential loss that's out there, making sure that you monitor that balance and it's not tied to a backup overdraft system, because then you're really containing your potential loss.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then that answers that PayPal out the window. Thank you very much.
Appreciate your call. And Kathy in Madison. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I don't know if anyone else has received a letter from Diversified Consultants, Inc. out of Florida. Well, we're supposed to send. They billed me $120 for my AT&T mobility. I don't have a car phone, and I don't do business with AT&T at this point. So this bill is for $120.99, and return mail address is out of Fort Mill, South Carolina. And my payment should be sent to Diversified Consultants at a P.O. box in Jacksonville, Florida. So has anyone else encountered this?
Has that one come across your desk yet, Sandy?
Not that particular one. And, you know, I would really like to see that. If you could send us a copy or call the hotline and send it to them. But there are any number of fake invoice scams, and these companies will send you a bill, and I guess they hope that you don't read it carefully and just send them a check, and it can be for any number of services, phone-related services, Yellow Pages services, you name it, and they have a fake invoice for it.
Okay. So where should I mail it to?
Can you email it to the...
Well, why?
I don't have email. I've had a problem with situations with it. So I'll just mail it snail mail.
Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8911, Madison, Wisconsin, 53708. And just address it to Consumer Protection.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. We have more callers. Let's go to Wade, who's on the road. Wade, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going today?
Good.
Good. The lady that actually called in a little bit ago about her bank switching everything out for her after the Target fiasco. It all depends on the bank that you've got. If you've got a very small town local bank, if you go out of state and you don't inform them, and this actually happened to me when I went down to basic training, because I was down south out of another state, a couple of purchases that I made for my own personal reasons, my bank actually shut my card off when I was down there.
Yeah.
So I had to call and get that all turned back on. So if your bank is a small town bank, chances are they're going to be very proactive anyways.
Yeah.
You're right, Wade. We talked about it really early in the program about making sure you contact your bank if you're traveling, because then they won't think that's an abnormality or an irregular transaction there. So it's important to be in communication with them.
You bet. Thank you very much for calling. Actually, we'll be going with a whole bunch of Wisconsin Public Radio listeners to Hawaii in March, and that's going to be a lot of fun, but I've got to remember to call the credit card company and say, we're going to be in Hawaii, because that credit card has never been in Hawaii. So we're looking forward to it, but tell you what, I would hate to be over there and then suddenly my card didn't work. That would not be good. Dave in Wisconsin Dells. Did we get you? Dave, we got you.
I had a quick question regarding the television program I've seen recently on a identity theft protection program called LifeLock. I'm curious if this is something you would endorse, or is it not necessary, or is there a better protection program out there?
LifeLock.
There are several credit monitoring services out there. LifeLock is one of them. I think each one of the three credit reporting agencies has its own insurance and credit monitoring service you can pay for. You know, that's a decision you need to make on your own, whether you want that additional protection or whether you think it's worth the cost to have that peace of mind. But remember, federal law entitles you to view your credit report free of charge 3 times a year by visiting annualcreditreport.com. So whether you want to pay additional is really a personal decision that you'll have to make.
Yeah. So appreciate your call, Dave. And David in Bloom City, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. How are you guys today?
Good.
I realize you're short on time, so I'll try to make this as brief as possible. My wife and I have been getting calls, and I forgot to mention this to your screener. They'll actually call, like, her parents and my mom and dad in San Antonio, Texas, and kind of harass them also. Basically what they say that we have a back check out or a payday loan that is due or something like that. And, I mean, we haven't even had a checking account for 4 years. And our loan officer at the bank, who is actually a personal friend, says, you know, no, there's nothing out there. And they'll actually threaten to, you know, have an arrest warrant issued for us and stuff like that. So.
What do you do?
Well, there's lots of options. I mean, that Facebook and social media is probably what's allowed this scammer to do this connection. But as I said, collection agencies and collections are regulated by the Department of Financial Institutions. So you're going to want to contact them to file a complaint. And then you just monitor your credit and make sure that you don't have any outstanding collections there. But it shouldn't start out hard and threatening and go to every family member.
And it was the Department of
Financial Institutions.
Well, as always, Sandy and Michelle, this has been most enlightening. I thank you so much. And you'll be back in a month or so?
That'd be great. Thank you.
We'll do it all over again. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, our guests today from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. We'll have them back. In the meantime, go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. You've got a link right to their offices, and they're doing a wonderful job. And thank you for listening. Please stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.